Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another awesome episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and today we welcome our very special guest, Chris Costello. He is the co-founder of Bloom, and I'm going to spell that for everyone. It's B-L-O-O-O-M, so that's three O's in the middle, and is one of the nation's foremost experts on 401k accounts and other employee-sponsored retirement plans. Costello and his co-founders created Bloom's first-of-its-kind technology to automate the analyzing, building, and reallocating of clients' 401ks. He has over two decades of experience building individualized portfolios and has earned the prestigious Certified Financial Planner designation. He was named among the 10 to watch in 2016 by Wealth Management. Raised in Kansas with Midwest sensibilities, Costello graduated from Kansas University with a business degree. He still lives in Kansas with his wife and two daughters as a self-described family maniac. I love that. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Chris. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for that very kind introduction.
Well, I am so excited to talk to you today because you are the kind of guy that I see in my own vision as the man on purpose who is really fully embodying at every level being on purpose. So part of your story is that you built a very, very successful business, and then you took and leveraged all of the connections that you made and the cash flow that you made from that business to create something of meaning. So I would love to have you talk to us and our audience about creation and about that whole process, about what inspired you to take the leap into creating Bloom and what inspired you to be on this path of working with vast sums of money. Talk about that, would you please, Chris?
Sure. Yeah. Well, thank you. As we talked about before the show got started, this is an enjoyable experience for me to share this story. It's something that probably the favorite part of my experience with Bloom, experience as CEO, and now experience as chairman of the company. So you're right, I had about two decades of financial advisory experience. I started way back in 1995, back when they used to call people stockbrokers. They don't use that term anymore, but started in that regard and kind of evolved into a financial advisor over time and was working for some of the big Wall Street-based brokerage firms. Always had a really strong entrepreneurial itch to scratch and knew probably at a fairly young age in the business that there is likely going to come a day where I would want to go out on my own and start my own business. And myself and my business partner, Kevin Conard, also one of the founders of Bloom, he and I did that back in 2004 when we left some of those big firms and started our first, I now call it a brick and mortar wealth management firm. I didn't used to say that, but now that I've got a digital firm, I refer to that one as a brick and mortar firm. And we did, I think, a pretty good job of building that business and earning the trust of a lot of great, hardworking people that were looking to make the transition from work life into retirement. But while we were building that business and really getting experience to those types of people, there were two things that started to creep into my head, and I think Kevin's head too, and that is the first, which is very personal. In this firm that Kevin and I started, and this is the case oftentimes with financial advisors, as you get a little longer in the tooth and more experience, oftentimes you start to raise your account minimums, meaning in order to get in the front door, and get a meeting with me, oftentimes you needed at least $1 million of investable assets before I'd take the meeting. And certainly the business was doing great, but what was nagging at me is that my own mom and dad technically did not qualify to be a client of the firm that I owned and operated. Now clearly they were clients. I'm not a jerk. So I was helping them. But the point is, had I not been in the business, my own mom and dad would have not had access to good help. They would have been forced to basically figure it out themselves, to DIY it, if you will. And so that started to again, kind of bother me. And it really made me realize that there was a flaw in the financial services business model, in that the people that arguably needed the help the least, the ones that had arrived financially, you know, arrived on retirement's doorstep with X millions of dollars in the account and no debt, those people likely were going to be okay. And those were the same groups of people that Wall Street and financial advisors and every walk of life are competing for. Those are the clients that everybody wants. And meanwhile, you've got people like my mom and dad, who I happen to think my mom and dad are probably a better representation of real America than people with $1 million or more. And people like my mom and dad really had no good options for getting financial advice and service. And so that weighed heavily on me. The second thing that I saw over and over and over, and this is a little bit more anecdotal, is I would be just quite simply out living my life. It could be standing in my cul-de-sac having a beer with a neighbor. It could be standing on the sidelines of my kids' soccer games. Whatever I was doing, I would either meet somebody or I'd be talking to a longtime friend. The topic of what you would come up or what were you doing in your profession, I'm a financial advisor. And then inevitably the conversation would go to, hey, Chris, I've got this thing through my company. I think it's called like a 401k or something. And, you know, I think I have money that's coming out of my paycheck and going into this account. I have no earthly clue if I'm doing this correct or not. And would you mind giving me some help? You know, is there any way you could help me with this? And I'd always say, of course, make a copy of your statement and email it to me. I'd be glad to take a look at it and give you my thoughts. So I get the copy of their statement, and it seemed to me like 80, probably 90% of the time, I'd look at my friends or my neighbors or whomever, their statement, and it looked like just they had like vomited their choices back onto the page. There was like no rhyme or reason. It was clear they had just kind of guessed or thrown darts, if you will. And so you had this perfect storm, perfect recipe of, I didn't like how something as important as your financial future was forced onto people as a DIY proposition if you weren't wealthy. And I didn't like how many, and I should say this, my friends and the people I think I ran around with were doing well in life, like doing well in their careers. They had graduated from college, but they had royally screwed up this important retirement nest egg account. And so seeing that firsthand, Kevin and I knew that there's a problem here, a big, big problem. And how big's the problem? Well, there's about 80 to 90 million Americans today, right now. I'm guessing most of the people that are going to listen to this at this very moment have an account like a 401k through their employer, okay? They're called 401ks. Sometimes they're called 403bs, employer-sponsored retirement accounts. There's almost 90 million people today that have one of those accounts. And I'll never forget what started. Kevin and I attribute this line to what kind of set this whole thing in motion. Late one night, January 2013, after the kids went to bed, Kevin and I usually would get back online. We email each other back and forth, you know, as entrepreneurs do. And Kevin sends me an email. And in this email, he says the following. What I'm about to say is actually up on the wall of Bloom's office right now. He says, Wall Street has made a habit of running in the opposite direction people with small accounts. Maybe we should build something and run towards them. Mm. Like, I have said that line 1,000 times, the hairs on the back of my neck still stand up when I say that, because to me that embodied the beginning of Bloom. It was late one night in January 2013. I think 5 minutes later, we had CC'd Randy, who was the third co-founder of Bloom. He was the technical co-founder. Kevin and I were financial advisors, not necessarily that technical. The three of us then, starting in January, we'd get together in Randy's basement at 9:30 on Thursday and Sunday nights, again, after the kids went to bed, and we'd work into the wee hours of the morning, mapping out what we could do. Could we build something to solve this gigantic, this massive problem, this lack of access, this lack of help, this broken business model full of conflicts, full of, you know, no transparency, full of hidden fees? And this is important stuff. I mean, this is people's financial future. This will dictate whether a large segment of our population will ever be able to stop working. And nobody was, in our opinion, was attacking this problem head on in the way that we thought it should be attacked. And so from there, we started building the company. Today, it's 5 years old. We've got over 20,000 clients from every corner of this country. The firm manages over $2.5 billion for our clients now. I know we're on to something. We still have, as I said, a long way to go. If there's 70, 80 million people that have these accounts, we still have a lot more work and a lot more help we can provide.
Well, and you are an amazing, amazing evangelist for that vision. And what a powerful vision, Chris. I mean, so one of the things that I see men on purpose have is they have vision and they also have courage. So I want you to just take a step out of founder role and a step out of Bloom evangelist role for just a second and talk about the courage that you had with your co-founders to not only identify a problem, but to say, I am in and I am the one who's going to do something about this. Mm-hmm. Because I really would love to hear what it is that you did in your own life to gird your heart to say yes to this big vision, because it's a whopper.
Yeah. Well, I'd say, I think it's a great question. There's a couple things that come to mind. First of all, I think back to, did you ever read the book by Malcolm Gladwell called Outliers?
I have read a lot of his books. Yeah.
Yeah. If you remember kind of the premise of Outliers, he talks about, he gives a number of examples of people that almost were born at the right time, talking about Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and the timing of when they were born and kind of the how computers were coming in and the access that they had to be able to work on those computers, given different circumstances. I felt the same way, and Kevin felt the same way, that he and I, it was like, the stars had aligned for us that this was the right time to do this, and I'll give you some examples. Number one, technology had gotten to the point where now, because at that time we'd started to see companies like Betterment and Wealthfront, which are two better known robo advisors, started to see some companies using technology to manage portfolios for kind of anybody at scale. And so the timing part of that is technology kind of reached a point where you could build something to solve this problem. I felt like at the time I was 40 years old, and I was old enough that I had enough experience in helping people with their investments and retirement planning. I've always been kind of a student of the industry itself. And so I was old enough there, but yet still young enough to recognize how we could embrace and leverage technology to solve this problem. So, you know, for me and Kevin, this was meant to be. It was like right place, right time. We're the right people for this. We even thought like geographically we were in the right spot for this because, you know, coming off the financial crisis of 2008, 2009, I think New York and Wall Street did a lot to ruin the trust of, you know, Americans in general. And I also tend to think, you know, Bloom is based in the heartland just outside Kansas City, as you talked about. And I also think that when it comes to people's retirement needs, I don't think people are necessarily comfortable with, you know, no offense, but a 25-year-old computer programmer in Silicon Valley managing their retirement nest eggs. You know, I mean, I think those are great if for, you know, for things like, you know, Snapchat or Instagram, or maybe you got a super teeny teeny tiny account, but Bloom's managing the accounts for people like they're managing their entire wealth at some point, you know. Mm. Bloom is. And so I think kind of the Midwest, you know, the values and the roots and kind of slow and steady. To some extent, I even felt like geography, like we're at the right place. Like there was never ever a discussion about moving the company anywhere else. Like Bloom was going to be built, you know, in Kansas City, just outside Kansas City, where myself and Kevin and Randy were all born and raised, and we're raising our kids here. So from that perspective, I felt like, okay, we've got that, you know, kind of tailwind blowing for us. As far as the courage, you know, I feel like this was not maybe as courageous of an endeavor as maybe somebody starting off for the first time or younger. Fortunately, Kevin, Randy, and I all had a little bit of personal financial resources that we could draw upon to get this going. And we were experienced entrepreneurs, so we knew some of the things about starting a business. So this wasn't, I wouldn't say it was as much courage for us. It was more like, there's a big problem that needs to be solved, and I don't know that there's too many people out there maybe better suited than, you know, Kevin, Randy, and I at the time to get this company off the ground. And fortunately, we were able to bootstrap the company for about the first 2 years. We just built it using our own funds before we ever went out and raised outside capital. So I feel very fortunate that we were at a point in our career where we could do that. Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't say it was, you know, there's definitely people that are a lot more courageous than me and Kevin and Randy, you know, first time entrepreneurs, or people that didn't have the experience we did or the resources we did. Certainly there's more courageous people out there than us.
Well, I see you as courageous. So because you saw a problem and you said yes to solving it. We're going to be back in just a minute with Chris Costello, the co-founder of Bloom. And we're going to spell that again for you. It's B-L-O-O-O-M. And you can find out more about Chris and the company and what they're doing for people who need support with their 401ks and their retirement and their financial future, who normally would be not even have the door open for them to get the kind of help that these folks are giving them. So we are going to be right back in just a moment. And before we go, I want to say thank you to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. I want to shout out this week to our listeners in Brunei, Darussalam. I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly, but we just got some listeners coming in and tuning in from Brunei, Darussalam, and that is super exciting for us here at the Men on Purpose podcast. It's always a pleasure for me to see how far we've reached our arms around the planet in serving men on purpose all over the world. So we will be right back with Chris Costello.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Bloom co-founder Chris Costello. Bloom is one of the nation's foremost experts on 401k accounts. Actually, Chris is one of the nation's foremost experts on 401k accounts. And he and his co-founders created Bloom's first of its kind technology that automates the analyzing, building, and reallocating of clients' 401ks. So he's a dude who is into helping people secure their financial future, no matter where they're at in the walk of life in terms of how much money they presently have. So my guess is, Chris, that not only do you help people with where they're at presently, but you really help them to be good stewards and growers of what they have. And I love that you called your company Bloom. And I want to hear a little bit about that, because I feel like that's super creative too. You guys are really creative. I want to hear a little bit about the reasoning and the inspiration behind that. name specifically? Yeah, and why the three O's?
Sure. You know, we actually had Kevin Randy and I had the company. We incorporated the company under a different name, and we did that knowing like we just needed to have an incorporation, but we didn't know what the name of the company was yet. So we just kind of picked something, knowing that we needed to have something that felt like Bloom, although we didn't know that at the time, and we didn't want to force it. We wanted it to kind of come, you know, naturally and like not necessarily have a timetable to it. And you know, truthfully, every real word in the English language has already been reserved. You know, the domain for that has already been reserved. So like everything is virtually taken, which is part of the reason why we added the extra O to Bloom, was because, which ironically, somebody still had that name too, and we had to pay like $5,000 even just to get that name. But a lot of people, kind of one of the inside jokes with Bloom is that you have to be a client of Bloom to know what the third O actually means. It's actually just, there's really no big story behind it. It was like, we thought it was creative and the misspelling might tend to be memorable. I think that's the case sometimes, but we also spend a lot of time chasing down misspellings of the name. You know, a reporter will do a story on Bloom and inevitably misspell it online, and so we're constantly following up, asking them to make that correction. But clearly the name Bloom has a connotation of what we're trying to do and help people grow and mature their accounts. And truthfully, along that same line, when you go to Bloom and you take 3 or 4 minutes to get the free analysis on your account, and anybody, that's one thing I always say, anybody listening to this, if you've got a 401k, take 3 or 4 minutes and get the dang free analysis that Bloom will provide. It is literally totally free. We'll show you how you're maybe messing things up. We'll show you what hidden fees you might be paying and how we might be able to lower those. But we use, when we show that, when we give that a free analysis, we use the image of a flower to convey the health of the account. And so no PhD in finance required. You know, you're not having to decipher these complex graphs and pie charts. It's literally a picture of a flower. If it's dead and dying with a fly on it, anybody knows that there's probably a problem. You know, if it looks beautiful and blooming, you're doing great. If it's like maybe it looks like a Venus flytrap, then maybe you're too aggressive with your account. And we've tried to make the whole process of first getting this free advice, and then if you choose to become a client, such a just the most simple financial experience you've ever had. Because a lot of times the engagement in getting financial help is poor because people are like, oh, I'd rather be doing anything than dealing with my finances. I don't understand what the jargon is. And, you know, I feel like I'm behind or I haven't saved enough. That is not what Bloom's about. We speak to people as human beings. We use a little bit of humor. And if you've got an account, that's awesome. There's nothing we're going to harp on you about saving more. You're not saving enough. Let's just make the best of what you've got today. Start with that. Then we'll worry about maybe down the road, how do we do better than that?
Beautiful. Well, that is beautiful. I had a feeling it had something to do, obviously, with growing, but I love that you use a flower and use that visual representation to help people in a couple of ways. Number one, to kind of diffuse the tension around having a financial conversation. And number two, to be a really clear depiction of the kind of the thermometer, taking the temperature of where they're at. Because I think a lot of people, yeah, certainly you can look at charts and graphs. And by the time you're done looking at the charts and graphs, you're like, I don't know what the hell I just looked at. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I love that you've simplified it so beautifully and that you're serving people in this way. So listeners, please be sure to go to bloom.com. It's BLOOOM.com and get your free analysis of your 401k. What a great idea. Thank you so much for offering that, Chris. That's awesome. So before we close, we're coming to the end. It goes so fast. It's amazing how fast it goes. And I really love talking to men on purpose like you who went through a period in your life where you made a lot of money. Like you were set. You were set to go. You were ready to be retired young, right? Or you already were retired young. And then you said, I'm not done yet. and it's time for me to make a different kind of contribution and to look at a challenge that I can solve, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want to hear from you now, Chris, about, first of all, what it was like for you to make that decision when you could have just coasted. Like, you could have just coasted. You didn't have to do this. So what was it like for you to make that decision, number one? And number two, after you made the decision, I'm guessing that some challenges showed up for you. So what's challenging you now?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't mind sharing something fairly personal with you on this that answers really that first question. So I talked a little bit about my mom and dad and not qualifying, not being wealthy enough, you know, to really get professional help. You know, thankfully, I was in the business. Actually, my younger brother, Ryan, he works at the other company. He's a financial advisor too. So they were lucky that their two sons were financial advisors, and so they had access to help. But, you know, I think something that made an extremely big impression on me was I lost my dad in 2012 to cancer. And my dad was 63 years old when he passed away. My dad did not get one single day in retirement. He worked all the way up until it was too hard for him, you know, undergoing chemotherapy. And a couple months later, he was gone. And don't think for a second that I haven't thought about this so many times, that what if something like Bloom had been around 40 years ago for my mom and my dad, so that they could have had access to some advice, some help. And what if by getting that advice or getting that help at an early age, someone or something, a service willing to help them, what if that would have enabled my mom and dad to be in a position where my dad could have stopped working at age 60, and maybe they would have had a couple of years together, you know, spending more time with my girls, my brother and sister's kids, and maybe traveling. My dad loved to travel. He loved to travel to like weird road trip places, like, you know, the biggest ball of twine or the deepest hand dug well in Kansas, you know, I mean, just stuff like that. It wasn't expensive stuff. He didn't get a chance to do that kind of thing. And so I know for a fact that what we're doing at Bloom today, and I think what I thought we could do at Bloom, is have the ability to impact people's lives in a way that might increase the number of days between their last day at work and their last day on this planet. Mm. And my gosh, how much is that worth? And truthfully, I might not be around to see that, but I know for a fact some of these 20,000 clients today and some of the hopefully millions of clients that Bloom will touch down the road, I know that we will do something, a piece of advice. We fix their account, we save them from some fees, and it'll allow them to be able to stop working maybe a little bit sooner. And, you know, for some people who love their jobs, maybe they don't want to stop. But others, maybe it's they could stop working because they've become financially independent, and then they could go do something that feeds their soul instead of their pocketbook. Maybe they want to volunteer or something, or maybe they want to start their own business. My dad always wanted to start his own breakfast and lunch restaurant. Like, you know, you get it. It's just breakfast and lunch only. They'd be closed at 1:30. My dad really never enjoyed his job that he did. He did it because he had three kids and a mortgage and a couple cars. And like, what if my dad could have been in that position, you know, cause now I'm in a position where I could help him do that and see him reach that kind of dream. Those types of things, you know, I think for a lot of people, you know, you call on different things to keep you motivated and keep you, you know, why, you know, your question earlier, you're courageous to start this. Well, so much of this was just how I was raised and then seeing firsthand, like my mom and my dad. And mom and my dad, as I mentioned earlier, I think are good representatives of a lot of people in the United States today. And it's very powerful knowing that we can help a lot of people. I mean, sometimes it's almost like, I use the analogy sometimes when NASA is sending or SpaceX is sending a rocket up into space, if they get those initial coordinates off, like just even a fraction of a degree, by the time they get to outer space, you know, it could be hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of miles off course. It actually works the same thing for your finances when you're young. If you're in your 20s, 30s, or even 40s, little tiny tweaks can have massive implications down the road for the positive or negative. And again, the wealthy people have been getting these suggestions and these tips and this advice. And now through technology, companies like Bloom can bring this stuff to everyone. So that's the purpose that I have specifically. You know, the challenges that I've faced in this process, and this is more of a message to the other entrepreneurs out there, maybe the people that are thinking about starting a company. Starting and getting a business off the ground is incredibly hard. It sucks sometimes. It really does. I mean, there are so many times where you have to have deep, deep fortitude to keep you from kind of just throwing the towel. And so let me bring this full circle. If all you were doing was starting a business because you think you can make a quick buck, or you think you can just, you know, this is my path to wealth, if that's the only thing that is the purpose behind your business, man, I think that's shallow. I think that's super shallow, because there's going to come times in every business where it just flat out sucks. And if all you have is this hope that I can make a bunch of money down the road, I just don't think that's enough to keep you from throwing in the towel. If you're going to start a business, so many businesses fail. Let's at least fail at something where you were trying to do good. Okay. We're all going to fail a lot in life if we learn from that. But if we can use those experiences and work on something that we really believe in, then I think that it makes it a little bit easier to stay the course. It's got to be more than just money. It's got to be more than just wealth. It needs to be like a legitimate, this is my purpose. There's something more powerful than just money. I want to try and make a difference in the world in some capacity. I think you need that to stick with it.
Beautiful. Chris, that was extraordinary. Thank you so much for being willing to go there and answer that question. And we are at the end. It goes so fast. It's amazing how fast it goes. So I want to thank you again and remind our listeners that you can find out more about Chris and his company at Bloom, BLOOOM.com. And listeners, we adore feedback. So please let us know what you thought of today's show, or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.